God, we praise your name. Everything changes. I was sitting over here thinking this. It's amazing to me that the Lord knew you were going to be sitting here before you were born. You thought you came from an invitation or whatever brought you here. But the fact remains that the Lord knew you were going to be here. And I think that's amazing. If you believe the Lord knows everything, then the Lord knew. And I believe that. And I'm amazed that he knows, cares, and loves, and reaches humanity as much as he can. Everybody say amen. Happy Mother's Day to all of you. And I want to give a shout out to my beloved bride. She's in church, and she's getting the surprise of her life today. Because on Mother's Days, I'm always preaching somewhere. And so it's kind of a thing with us just ever, you know, call her up and say, hey, I want you to know I love you. And happy Mother's Day. But today, from 2 to 4, I planned something. I'm not good at all this. You know, I don't give the right gifts. So I just started giving her money. It's like I just don't choose the right stuff, you know. So if her family's all there. And 2 to 4, she's cooking for them. Well, my brother-in-law, I cut up with my family a lot. I'm a cut-up, so he told me, he said, well, I got invited to a delicious dinner of pork loin and potato salad and cooked by your wife, my sister. Knowing that you're going to be in Missouri, I'm not going to eat from Friday till Sunday so I can eat all of it. And so I told my wife, I want you to put one slice of shaved ham out on the counter yesterday with one piece of bread, and then right before he gets there, put it in the refrigerator and then tell him, here's what Gordon said you could have. But from 2 to 4, I've got it spaced out. I was laughing at this because at 2 to 4, I've got it spaced out that my wife will get a delivery of flowers every 30 minutes. And so when I get home, I'm going to tell them Pope boys, y'all just ain't got it. You don't understand. You don't understand. You know, you can't come over to my house and eat my pork loin. And then every 30 minutes, she's going to be, she's never, and here's the thing. I'm laughing at Sister McCoy because my wife can touch one of them flowers and it'll die. She can't grow flowers. I'm the dude that grows all the flowers, you know. And she'll hang them up and water them. And I said, you're not talking to them right. And she'll go out there and talk to them. You know I loved you. You know everything. You know. And that thing will just be sitting there dying. That's like, so it's going to be a wild thing because our house is going to have all these flowers. I hope they live till I get home tonight. Amen. We're glad y'all are all here. Oh, y'all don't know how funny this is going to be because she's going to say, of all things, Gordon, I cannot grow flowers. Why did you give me this? And I'm going to go, well, I was just one of my good gifts again. You know, everything I ever give her, everything I've ever given her, she's taken back. Everything, no matter. So, she can't take these back, it's going to be a big joke on all of them. Hey, I'm glad to be here again with y'all in revival. What great service we had last night. If you missed it, it was so strong, powerful service. Been a great and powerful revival, and we are so excited about old-fashioned revival. old-fashioned revival. Hallelujah. I made a commitment many years ago. If the Lord can't move, I don't need props. You know, I don't need props. Everybody says, well, what about all that stuff in the temple? The Lord was behind a curtain. He wasn't in the temple. He was behind a curtain. All the people got to see was just stuff. But he was behind a curtain. He's not behind a curtain here, amen? He's walking the aisles. He's helping us. I want to read this morning. I know it's Mother's Day, and we're going to try to help everybody. But we're in revival. And I'm an evangelist. I'm not a professional preacher. And so we're going to try to do what I believe the Lord would want us to do. The book says in Proverbs 31:25, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice, watch this, in time to come. She shall rejoice in time to come. Thank you, Lord, for every person that's here today. I'm asking you, Lord, to help me preach real good and let them understand the Word of God is for them in their life and every day. It's something that we should be living, something that we should be embracing. So help me, Lord, to get this message across where somebody in this place could be restored in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. I want to preach today about this, well, maybe not so well known, but it's a woman named Naomi. Now, if I was to preach about Ruth, she's got a book here in the Bible titled by her, but I want to preach about Naomi. Naomi was a married woman there, and she was living in a country where the rain had not fallen, and the harvest kept growing smaller and smaller, and Elimelech, her husband, can't find any work, so now the family finds itself starving. Now, I hate to ask this, but I kind of don't. How many of you ever realized you were starving? Just a few? My God, where y'all been working? I mean, I used to be into dope pretty heavy. And I remember one time that me and my brother wanted to smoke some dope so bad that we were starving to death at that time. I hadn't been dealing. And so we bought a can of potted meat. Y'all know what that is? We bought one can of potted meat. I never will forget. It was 19 cents. And but we had a four-finger lid of marijuana. That means it was this thick, four-finger. That's the way you used to measure it. We didn't have scales. We had guns and fingers. And so we wanted to smoke that so bad that I looked at Kelly and I said, drew a line right down the middle. I said, you go first. And Kelly went, no. No, you'll be Bogart in the joint. You go first. So we were starving at 19 cents for a potted meat, and yet we wanted to smoke the dope, which would make us more hungry. It didn't even make sense. But we were starving. And if you haven't been in a position to where there's no food, then you don't realize the blessing of having plenty. And one time my dad was, he was a preacher. And one time my dad, we had no food. And I didn't know we didn't have food. And he was in there and my mom was praying. And the Lord moved on a lady named Pauline Dumas, whom nobody knew. And she was there at Safeway in Henderson, Texas, and something told her, back in those days, $50 worth of food put it in your trunk, and I'll show you where to go. This woman didn't have the Holy Ghost. And she did, scared, and drove straight up to the house. And my mother walks out, and she says, "Can I help you?" And the lady says, "Yeah, I don't know why I'm here. I don't even know who y'all are, but something kept telling me to bring y'all." And she opened up the trunk, and it was back in those days, $50 would. And she said, "So I'm supposed to bring all these groceries?" And my daddy walked out and said, "I know why you're here, because we've been in there praying, and because we're starving to death trying to build a church." In less than 7 days, Pauline Dumas had the Holy Ghost. Bo Dumas come in and gets the Holy Ghost. All the Dumas family comes in. See, the Lord knew. Look at your neighbor, say, "The Lord knows." And so I've been to the place as a kid and a grown-up where it looked like I was starving, felt like I was starving. I remember stealing a motorcycle and driving all the way to Florida and stealing food the whole way. I was a kid and starving, just whatever I could get, whatever I could steal to pawn. Back in those days, of course, no internet, and you could pawn something and run down the road and nobody even knew who you were. And just starving. And so this lady sees that her family is starving. There's no bread. And back in those days, bread is an important part of their life. How many of you love bread? Some of y'all don't have no arms or what? I don't know. Like, I love bread, man. I mean, the doctor told me all that. Man, I don't like going to doctors. You know why? They tell you what you're doing wrong. As they sit there, my doctor's fat. Telling me I'm fat. I looked at him, "Have you looked in the mirror?" Tell me, "Don't eat bread." I was like, "Don't eat bread? What, that means you can't eat a steak. Well, you're not supposed to be eating red meat. Have you ever noticed that bread and salmon don't go together? But that old red steak, whoo, Lord, you got to have some bread to push it." Anyway, I'm fixing to get hungry, but I run across a bagel the other day I really like. It's called Dave's, D-A-V-E-S. I don't know if it's all the way up here or not, but if it is, do yourself a favor and eat a real bagel. It'd make a tadpole slap a whale. I love bread. And love them rolls and butter. I love all that stuff. And when there ain't no bread in the house, I get a little nervous because you can't make a sandwich. You can't. There's just something about bread. Even if you're not eating it, it's right there, and you know you can. But this lady, you know, there wasn't any bread, and so they're starving. There's no rain. There's no wheat. There's no bread. And so they've got to make a decision to go to Moab. In other words, they're going to a heathen country. And it seems this Jewish family was able to find work and keep going for a while and keep from starving in this strange land. Whatever Naomi's husband could provide, it appears that Naomi learned how to make the best of it. One thing I want you to know, that I am married to a woman that I don't know. I know. I'm glad she's in church. Yeah, she's still in church. But when we were dating, I'm going to tell you, this girl couldn't cook, could not cook. She cooked me a lasagna. I hate lasagna to this day. She cooked lasagna, and I put it in my mouth. It was so sick. It was so gross, I didn't even swallow it. I stared across the table at her, and she put it in her mouth, and she stared across the table at me, and I thought, somebody's going to spit it out first. I don't know who it is. And she took her, you know, she's delicate. She took that napkin and put it up there in a Bounty Town. I just went, let it go. And I said, "You ready to go out to eat? I'm buying." And, you know, but now that chick can cook. She can take stuff and start putting it together. And man, it just is good. It's just something about her cooking. It's like, I'd rather eat. I don't care about going out to eat. My wife has learned how to cook. And so Naomi knew how to cook whatever was brought in. She knew how to make it sound and taste real good. I imagine that that it was a little disappointing to Naomi when her two sons, which were Jews, eventually fell in love with Moabite girls. And I feel like there was a little doubt that Naomi and her husband probably talked to them about their intentions to marry these Moabite girls. Moabites are the descendants of the union between Lot and his daughters. And so they were born out of illegitimacy, and they served strange gods. But eventually the boys married them anyway. So it shows me by continuing to read the story that Naomi, although she disapproved probably of the marriage, she did accept the fact that she had some daughter-in-laws that did not believe like she believed. But instead of acquiescing to their beliefs, she just kept holding on. Let me say that again. She didn't bow to their beliefs. She just kept on doing what she knew was right. She just kept on. She did it in love, I'm sure. But she said, "Now I'm not gonna change just because you married into my family." And so what was really strange is that Naomi, the homemaker now, she's got the boys and the girls and the boys and the daughter-in-laws, and now these daughter-in-laws are around her and they're serving these crazy gods that aren't really gods. But she's doing her thing and they're doing their thing. But then another thing had happened, a disaster arises and claims Naomi's husband. And if that's not enough, we see the death comes calling and gets both of her sons, which now leaves Naomi totally responsible for two girls that don't believe what she believes existing under her roof. That's a bad deal. So her world is getting less and less and less, and she's having to learn how to do more with less, and she's having to hold things together when things are coming apart. And she's lost her home. She's moved to a heathen country. She's trying to survive. The place that she loved and felt comfortable in is gone, and now she's had to walk away from it and head to the unknown. Her nest is gone, but in this heathen country, she loses her husband and then loses her sons, loses her support of provisions, her source of income. And somehow this woman took on herself to make the best of a bad situation and somehow held all of this together through the tragedy. Surrounded by losses. I imagine people were even talking about Naomi. They were probably troubled. Look at all that trouble that's come on her. I wonder what she did wrong. She should have never left her home. And the story is they were starving. And then now it's like, well, now look at them now. Here, she done lost her husband, her sons. And somehow Naomi learned how to deal with the misery, the hurts, and the pains, and the gossip. Life can throw you some stuff. I wished. Let's just preach for a few more minutes. I'm going to try to get y'all out before the Baptist. I wish that life was easy. It was. I do. I really do. Hey, I don't care. I like things easy, all right? How many people like it easy? I like stuff easy. I mean, I wish we could just wake up and everything would just be great and we would go through life and somebody would say, "Have you ever had a trouble?" And then you'd look at them like, "What in the world is that? Are you a foreigner? I've never heard of it." You know? But the truth is, to all you young people, y'all don't even know what trouble is. To y'all young people, trouble is your phone ain't working right. Or X went down. Or Twitter's off. Or Hillary's emails appear in your box. That's trouble. You know, it's like, "Mom, What hairspray should I use? We don't have any hairspray. Oh, what am I going to do? But when you live a while, you realize that life is learning how to overcome troubles. That's what life is. Life is not going to be easy. You look at me and you say, well, Brother Poe, man, he's got the cat by the tail. He's got everything easy. Yeah, well, I was wearing a brace on my knee because I hurt it while I was preaching, and this is the first week I haven't had a brace on. Are you understanding? You just have to learn to deal with the issues because the problems are going to come, but you've got to learn how to be a problem solver. You've got to learn that I like it easy. But here's the deal with me. Now I'm just talking about me. When things don't go wrong one day, that bothers me because now it's like, uh-oh, what did I miss? Is anybody else like that? Come on, y'all can admit stuff here. You're not gonna go to jail. When things don't happen one day, you know, when something doesn't upset the apple cart or I don't get a phone call. I mean, Friday I was doing good. I was doing so good. I've been real sick this week, horribly sick. I won't go into it, but deathly sick. They wanted to take me to the ER and all that stuff. And I'm hard-headed. I thought, well, I'll survive. And I put on Gloria Gaynor. I will survive, you know. Played it through my ears for about 24 hours, you know. Not really. I'm joking. I thought some of y'all would go, oh, my God, yes. And the visitors are going, are we in church? But I was really, really bad. And then Friday, man, it was just like, okay, my head's not hurting. My head hurt. Well, anyway, I won't go into it. I had this, I thought I was having an aneurysm. Let me just say it like that. My brothers had one. My sisters had one. And I just thought I was having one. So I told my wife, if I'm having one, I'll just die. I'm not going up there and get juiced up. And then pretty soon I'm thinking, well, why are you so hard-headed? You might go get juiced up, you know, but the Lord helped me, and I made it. I didn't get juiced up, and the Lord helped me. So by Friday, I'm thinking, to you older folks, juiced up means a shot. My days, it was like, you fishing to get some juice? So Friday, nothing's happening, and I'm sitting there in a recliner, and I'm thinking, whew, what a week. Man, there ain't no kids here. There ain't no grandkids hollering. My granddaughter, when she comes, it's bear, 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 bear. Where are you going? Bear. Can I go? Bear. Can I go? Pretty soon, it's just like, oh, my God. Then she'll go, you know, bear, can I have some ice cream? Yes, yeah, you can have ice cream. But now it's quiet. And I looked at Sherry and I said, man, this is good. We're sitting on the back porch looking at 11 deer. We have a lot of deer in our yard. I feed them, and I ain't kill them. I just feed them. And I'm looking at 11 deer, and it's nice. And I'm thinking, man, this is the way it is, boy. This is the way the phone rings. Hello? You got a minute? And for the next hour, it was just shoo. And I looked over to my wife. She said, why did you take that call? I said, well, I take it. And then she goes, but look what happened. And I said, it happens every time. That's just sort of like living. Things are going good, and you're like, man. And then the next thing is like, shabam. What happened? But Naomi's doing the same thing. She's going, everything was getting a lot better, but now it's bad. And suddenly, I don't have anybody to lean on. I don't have any support system. But I didn't do anything, but I'm in the middle of this. But here's one thing that Naomi did. She taught us in the middle of tragedy, you can still hold on to your faith. You can still hold on to what you know is right. One thing you do have control over is, what do I believe in God? Is God going to bring me through? Is God going to supply my need? Somebody needs to understand, in the middle of tragedy, in the middle of hurt, God still provides. Look at your neighbor and say, amen. God still provides. I'm going to tell all of you visitors some things that I know for a fact. See, I'm not coming against any visitors or anything. I just want you to know that what I preach is not fairy tale to get you to join. First of all, let me just be plain. Ain't none of y'all can join you're born in. You didn't hear me, is it? So let me say it again. You can't say, hey, I want to join the church. You can't join the church. You're born into the church. You're baptized into it. You're filled with the Holy Ghost into the Spirit. You can't just fill out a card or shake my hand. That ain't the way Jesus wanted it done. That's not the way it's done. You just got to say, I'm going to repent, and I'm pissed to go down in the name of Jesus Christ. And when I come up, the Bible says I'm a new creature, meaning I got a new will and testament. I got power and authority. Oh, we ought to be giving him a little praise right now. Hallelujah. Hey. Hallelujah. Let me just preach a little bit. I feel I was sitting out there before thinking I ain't gonna do all this. And my mother did, my daddy did, but I ain't gonna do it. Ain't no way, man. I ain't gonna be crazy like that as I smoke my dope. I ain't gonna be crazy like that in church as I got drunk and couldn't remember where my house was. I ain't going to be crazy. I'm just finna preach a little bit about it. I ain't going to be crazy like them people as I got awoken in a jail cell and told them how much, they told me how much it took to get out. You talk about crazy, it's going from one tragedy to the next tragedy with no solution in your mind except drunk and being high. Honey, let me tell you, when I got the Holy Ghost, all of that world was gone. I didn't have to worry about it anymore. It wasn't a law that could. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God. Look at your neighbor and say, amen. Yeah, I'm hurrying up. And I remember one time I got so drunk in church. Yeah, you can get drunk, man. Holy Ghost, think about it. Just think about it with me, guests. Think about it. When the Spirit of the Lord gives, all right, let me back up. When the Spirit, I feel like preaching a little bit. I guess my brace is not, turn, why don't you turn me loose? Turn me loose. Ha! Turn me loose. Grandma thinks it's in the book. She's over there going. I love it when people start, whoo, and I remember getting drunk in church. Think about it. See, when I was going up them football games, I got in the spirit of the football game. Let me show you how I know. They had them tailgating parties. In other words, they were getting juiced up before the game. They got to talking about how good Dallas was, how good Roger was, how good Tony was, how good, and we were just drinking and getting in. We were in the game before we in the stadium. Yeah, can I say it like that? But when we got up and we got that ticket out, when we got in, it was like, I'm going to tell you something, Pittsburgh going to have a bad day today. Pittsburgh going to have, them Steelers shouldn't have come to Texas. You know, we were talking about victory before the game. Oh, can I preach a little bit today? We were talking about what was going to happen before we ever sat down in the... Oh, I wish sometimes you people in church would get in that prayer room and start getting juiced up a little bit right before you step in the sanctuary. Because when you do and you start talking about the victory that's going to happen, come on, you got to have faith. and let your faith. Look at your neighbor and say amen. And so
one time I was in church, and it happened all the time. I didn't know, but when the presence of the Lord gets on you so strong, your flesh can't handle it. That's what dope is. It messes with your brain. That's what drugs do. Except the Holy Ghost messes with all of you. And it gets on you so strong. I didn't even know you could do that. First time I got so drunk in the Holy Ghost, I was like, dude, uh-oh, something ain't right. I'm in church. I ain't supposed to be. Oh, Lord, Mama going to whip me now. Mama going to think I got drunk, came to church. And Mama just patted me on the leg. Lord, help him right now. And the more she pet me, I was so drunk that when I left, the cops pulled me over right there on Alpine Drive in Longview, Texas, and the black cop and the white cop. And they asked me, you know, where you been drinking? They got me out, and they said, where you been drinking? And I said, at church. Are you hearing me? I said, at church. And the white cop said, well, I ain't never heard that one before. Wanted me to take a breathalyzer. I just blew on him. I had some preachers down there in the parking lot of 7-Eleven. They didn't get pulled over. All of them was drunk too. And they're up there hollering, he's an ex-convict. He's drunk. Throw him in jail. They were drunk. And I'm hollering, shut up. Well, that sounds good coming from me. But have any of you people from Tyler ever seen a Times of Refreshing where people walked out, they were so drunk they couldn't stand up? See, these people ain't from here. They're from Texas. They've been in the services where I preach, and people got so drunk we had to carry them out. We couldn't even get them to walk out. You couldn't even stagger them out. They had to carry them out. So when the Holy Ghost gets on you, I don't care what happens. That's the reason I'm saying I don't care what tragedy you're going through. You've got to realize there's something that's stronger and more powerful than that situation. Can everybody stand and give the Lord a little praise right now? Oh, I praise you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. You're almighty every day, 24 hours a day. Look at your neighbor and say amen. Now, I'm trying to be nice, but listen to me. I told the preacher. He asked me, Garden, how'd you like it? I said, if I'd have known I could have been doing this, I'd have never sold cocaine. I didn't know you could do this for free. Instead of having to go to jail, I thought, church, I'm going to church to get high tonight. See, I was a hippie. I was a dealer. And so to me, it was like, I'm going to go up there and get all tanked up. What, them cops can't do nothing. They can't do jack. I can walk around like an idiot over there in Shoney's, slap pancakes and eggs all night. Where you been, church? But people looking at me and like, you're going to be acting a fool as they sitting over there going, hey, girl, I just met you 20 minutes ago, but I think I'm in love. Huh? That Holy Ghost get on you and messes you up. Because now you realize I don't have to stay in the ditch. I was in the ditch, but I don't have to stay in the ditch. I was down, but I don't have to stay down. Why? Because the Bible said greater is he that's within me than he that's within that world. So I may go down, but I ain't staying down. Why? Because I've got the real Holy Ghost, and I have faith, and I believe in everything. Come on, give the Lord some praise. I just believe. You may be seated. So Naomi was in all of this mess. But what Naomi didn't realize was there was one girl that was mesmerized by what Naomi really was. And when Naomi said, listen, I'm going to go back, and y'all just need to go stay with y'all's family, this one chick said, I have a choice. I can become like them, which I already was, or I can become like her, which I really like. But to become like her, I'm going to have to follow whatever she's following. See, the one thing about Pentecost people don't understand, people give us a bad rap. They give, you know, I understand. They don't know it. They're ignorant. And they go, they're an occult. Really? Well, who got red Kool-Aid when you came in? Jim Jones serves the Kool-Aid, okay? He's dead, right? Oh, don't ever become one of them. You can become anything you want, and nobody's got a problem. But if you say I became a Pentecostal, they're like, oh, my God, you did not. Oh, my word. Do you realize all the stuff you can't do? Hold on. Do y'all realize that a lot of stuff you can't do is just because it's against the law? Ain't got nothing to do with us. I mean, you can't speed either way. You can't speed in your car, and you can't speed. It's just not, it ain't us. It's not, you can't get out there and get drunk and kill somebody. That ain't us. That's the law. And in here, we don't drink because we realize we don't want to kill nobody because it's against the law. Hello? It's not hard. It's the fact that, wait a minute, we're just going to be a little different. We're going to try to do what the Bible says. I'm just trying to do what the Bible says. Naomi was saying, I'm just going to do what I did when I was in the temple. I'm just going to do that, and I'm going to serve that God. And then all of a sudden, Ruth is going, well, you know what? If she's going to do that, hold on just a minute. Let me show y'all something else before I leave. She was convinced that Naomi was right in the middle of all the mess. Yes, sir. Now, it's easy to convince. You know, I used to sell it. Anybody ever sell Amway besides me? Y'all are lying. Ain't nobody in here sold Amway? That's a long time. Well, them kids probably know what it is. I sold that stuff like crazy. That stuff would clean them white wall tires back in them days. Oh, Lord. I used to squirt that stuff on. And women, I'd get them all up there to get the men and tell them, let me show you what to do to a white wall. And men would go buy it. Anybody, y'all ain't never sell, anybody ever begun, anybody ever do any multi-level marketing at all of any sort? Who? What? Let me see if I bought into it. What was it? Melaleuca? There was some stuff called Melaleuca, had the gold soap. Remember that? I had gold underarms for years. People say, is it good? And I'd go, smell. I mean, I made all kinds of money on them. It's multi-level marketing. Well, that's against the law. No, it's not. Multi-level marketing is our government. Ponzi schemes are against the law. Multi-level marketing, see, with the bottom pays the top. Get your taxes and see if you ain't paying the top. Hallelujah. You know why they're all mad? Because now they're going to get their money cut off. That was an economic lesson for y'all. And so I would do all these little schemes, and they weren't, I would be like, I was bought on, but here's what I did. I went to an Amway convention up in Dallas, and before, listen to this, the guy that talked me into going, I wasn't even in Amway. He said, you'll do excellent. And I said, boy, I ain't selling soap. Well, it wasn't soap. That's just something everybody said. It wasn't soap. It was a whole bunch of stuff. But I said, soap. I ain't selling soap, man. And he said, well, just go with me to the convention. They went, and I did. And before I got inside, down the street, I could hear the rock and roll going. And I told Randy Langham, I said, huh, I don't know where y'all going, but I'm going to that concert. I ain't going to sell no soap, so I hear a concert, so I'm going to buy my way in. And here's what Randy said. That's what's playing in Amway. They wasn't playing lullaby music. It was like, boom, shaka-laka-laka, boom, shaka-laka-laka. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Yo, I saw them people back there like, whoop, hey. And I was like, you got to be kidding. I walked into that thing, and I started rocking while I was walking down. It's like, here we go, here we go. That's what I'm talking about. I didn't give a rip what they sold. I was so caught up in what I was seeing. Honey, don't come into no church where you can't see nothing. You need to come into a church where you're seeing something like you are today. We're seeing that the praise and the worship and the admiration. I want a church where I can feel something. I want a church that I know can make a difference in my life. I'm holding fast to the doctrines that were passed before us. Stand and give him a praise right now. Thank you, Lord. You can be seated. I got to hurry and close. Listen, I've said this before in this revival, but we're so used to being, well, let me say it like this. When you go to the doctor, folks, all the guests, listen. When you go to the doctor, it's so ignorant. I'm not against doctors. No, absolutely not. I've got one. He could be two. I mean, when he gets to talking, I ain't for sure which chin I'm supposed to look at. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to say anything bad, but it's just like, could you repeat that? Because I see three creases. One of them's got to be the mouth. And next time I go in, if he's seeing this, he's going to say, welcome to my world. And so I'm not against him at all, but here's what happens, folks. We tell them what's wrong with us. Now, think about it. You take that piece of paper they give you. It was one. Now it's about 49. You know, they want to know if you have power of attorney, if you die, who's your living, all that mess. And I just tell them, they want to know about my grandfather. I said, he's dead, been dead. Why you want to know about him? They want to know about my mother. She dead. I just put right there on the thing, dead. Did she have whatever? Don't care. She dead. No matter what she had, I'm the one that's got the flu, not her, okay? Let's talk about her. That's three pages gone right there. And so you don't have to fill all that out. But we tell them what's wrong, right? And then the doctor, so brilliant, went to school for this, that he comes in and tells you what you wrote. You have a sore throat. I wrote that down. He'll take that little popsicle stick, stick it way back there till you gag, and go, your tonsils are swollen. And you tell him, that's why I can't talk. You know, and we think he's good. Because he says, try this. And if it doesn't work, come back. One time I told my three, four doc, whatever they were, all these doctors that were sitting here in one gown, I said, he said, I want you to try this, and then if it doesn't work, come back. And I literally said this, well, why don't you give me that other stuff first? What do you have that's the strongest? He said, we don't do it that way. Watch what he said. We want to go the weakest and just migrate up till your body responds. And I looked at him and I said, Doc, you don't understand. This body don't respond to what normal human being. This has been so much through this body. I said, when I die, they'll probably have to lay me down. I won't even fall. It'll just be like, it's just too much chemical in here. I said, they're gonna put that stuff up in me and try to, you know, rigor mortis and all that stuff. The caretaker's gonna try to inject all that mess in me, and it's gonna come right back up. And the needle. There's been so much shot up in this body. Just give me that strong stuff. I ain't worried about that weak stuff. My body's gonna take that and go, I ain't doing it on that. So we try. Look at your neighbor and say, we try. And guess what? If it don't work, what do we do? We go right back up there. and sat back down and tell him, hey, you know what? On page 3 where I got swollen tonsils and all that, yeah, well, that stuff you give me, that amoxicillin didn't work. That didn't work. We're going to have, he'll say, okay. And it gives you something. Let me ask you a question. How come we never try Jesus? How come that when we've got depression, we'll go to the doctor to get a pill, but we won't go to the altar and let, because depression is a spiritual issue. It's a natural issue and chemical wise, but God made the body and he can transfer anything. You've got to learn to try Jesus first. If God can heal me from depression, he can heal anybody in here. No matter what you're going through, you can try Jesus. Somebody scream, try Jesus. You can be seated. Tragedy. Naomi never gave up. But because she never gave up, there was this other person that became so powerful that she stood in front of a king for her people. See, when you're responding, you may think it's irrelevant, but there's somebody watching that says, if she goes down there and she does this, then I don't know exactly what it is, but I know this, she believes it, and I've got to have something. I've been trying all that other stuff, and that other stuff just don't work. I'm here to help somebody this morning that says, hey, if y'all could just pray a little bit of prayer right now and help me through my dilemma, I need somebody that knows how to touch the throne of God. I need somebody that knows how to pray and make things happen. You can be seated. I'm closing with this. And there was a lady in Colorado, and this church was running about 1,300-1,400. And the Holy Ghost, you can't see to the back. And the Holy Ghost told me about a person over here. And I said, there's a lady over here, and you're fighting depression. You've been fighting depression. I said, in fact, the Lord told me 18 years. So I want you to stand. And a little lady stood up, started walking down that big old aisle. Brother Hale stood up, and I said, ma'am, the Lord showed me that you're fighting depression for 18 years. And she said, I am. Not I was, I am. I said, but you've been coming to church. She said, I'm not missing church. In other words, I'm going through hell, but I ain't missing church. I'm having issues with my mind, but I ain't missing church. Are you hearing that little testimony? I'm having problems, but I ain't going to miss church because of my problem. I'm going to go see a problem solver. I'm going to believe that he's going to solve these problems. And so I'm not going to miss my church. Look at somebody and say, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give. Shake them a little bit and say, just don't give up. And so here she was. And I said, well, the Lord told me to tell you that he's going to heal you tonight. And I heard some in the crowd go, like he said, tonight. Oh, my. And she didn't do that. She said, oh, thank God. And I walked off that big old stage, and I clamped these hands on her head, and the Holy Ghost hit that woman. And let me tell you this. Brother Hale testified to this. He's the bishop. He said, I ain't never seen her get drunk in the Holy Ghost. I've been pastoring her over 30 years. That woman got so drunk and wiped out, when she was in the floor laughing and couldn't stop laughing. She walked out laughing. I have a written testimony at my house about how that she reminds the devil all the time, honey, you had me for 18 years with a spirit of depression, but the Lord saved me. You know what's happened? A lot of young people are looking at her like, if God can do it for her, God can do it for me. If God can deliver her,
God, oh, I feel the Holy Ghost telling somebody this could be your last day to fight your issue. In fact, if you need help from the Lord, why don't you come running down here right now? Don't even worry about it. If you need help coming, come on down here right now. We're going to pray a prayer of faith, and God's going to raise you up. If you need something from God, hurry up. This is a good altar call to respond to. I need God to heal me. I need God to deliver me. I need God to set me free. I'm tired of just trying this and trying that. Look at here. Here's somebody. Throw your hands up. Come on, get on down here. Come on, get on down here. I'm setting myself free. Church, pray right now. We're going to pray and God's going to deliver. We're going to pray and God's going to heal. We're going to pray and God's going to do something. We'll lay your hands on them right now. I want you to get somebody and start praying all across this building right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I might have been going through it, but today I'm not giving up. I'm not stopping. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to...